Ahoy from Prague, it's Tom Torero, podcast number 40, the big 40 middle age. We've reached it together with Tom Torero coming in your ears. Either you're listening on iTunes or still on YouTube. If you're on YouTube, don't forget you can download all this stuff. Get on iTunes and search Tom Torero podcast. Anyway, we're in Prague. It's beautiful. It's chilly. It's Christmassy. It's sunny. It's always nice to be here. It's the city of my childhood. It's the city where my father spent a lot of his life studying medicine. My grandfather was a professor of law at the university here. So even though they were from Slovakia, at the time it was Czechoslovakia, and my father's misspent student years were here in the dark, seedy, smoky bars of the old town. He was a medic by day and he played jazz piano at night. So it's always nice to be back. This is where I started at the beginning of this year with a student and with shooting those Nice Bad Boy vlog video series videos. I was here with Nick Krauser doing the beginner day game stuff, and I've been here since. So good to be back teaching today. I taught yesterday. It's my last Euro trip of the year. It's my last travel of the year and my last foreign teaching of the year. Anyway, on to today's topic, finishing with a bang. It's all about banging. Today's topic is sex. Do you even flinch when you hear that word, like in a sex ed education class? Do you feel guilty about sex? Are you unsure of your sexual capabilities? Do you want to spice things up? Do you want to vary it? Do you want to keep her around? Do you want to know what other guys do? If you want to know what I've learned from over 250 girls from Day Game in the Sack, then listen on. I realized I haven't spoken much about it because Day Game guys, pickup guys, you assume that what people struggle with is the anxiety, the open, the conversation, the texting, the dating, the escalation, even the token LMR. But then once you are doing the sweet act of making love, you assume, well, that's it. But from talking to other guys, there's lots of questions surrounding sex, which we're going to dive into today. It's only a half an hour podcast, so if you like this kind of stuff, I'll do more of it in the future. Two emails in particular I had this week from evangelical Christians, or guys waiting until marriage to have sex, and they wondered whether Day Game and dating and my model and all of that good stuff that's out there on YouTube, if it applied to them, how they could apply it but not have sex. And I replied quite politely but bluntly to those guys and said, well, look, sex is not a sin. You shouldn't feel guilty about sex. Women love sex. Sex should happen before the relationship part. You need to get that out of the way. And if you're not providing the sex, then she's going to go elsewhere. And I've said in other podcasts, even if she's religious, especially if she's religious, she's got this pent-up sexual energy which needs to be released, and it will be released. I've slept with very strict Muslim girls. I've slept with evangelical Christian girls. And when the floodgates open, boy, oh boy, it's often part of the secret society. Obviously, her family and friends or future partners can't know about it, but it happens. So we need to ditch the purity fantasy surrounding sex. Men's need to feel love and to cuddle, and they want that before sex. I've argued, you know, that men perhaps want affection more than sex, because if you just want sex, you know, you could go to a hooker, you could just watch porn, knock yourself out. The desire that we really want, that Freud would agree with, is this cuddling, is this snuggling, is somebody to look after us, is that spooning in the morning. And men put that often before the importance of having sex. I say have sex as quickly as you can with a girl, get it out the way so that crazy massive sexual tension is gone, and then you can work out, is she a cool girl? Do you want to see her again? Are you sexually compatible? Is there more to her than just her pussy and her boobs? Can you spend time with her? Is it somebody that you want to keep around? And until you've had sex, you don't know any of this stuff, because you've got your blue balls, your head spinning, you're not thinking logically, you're in beast mode, you're in that caveman, very primitive state. It's like when you're hungry or you're fighting or when you're fucking, it's very, very primitive. The forebrain switches off, you go into animal brain. So it's a healthy desire. Sex is very healthy and normal and wonderful and should be celebrated. For reasons that we're not going to go into now, it has to sometimes be secret. Girls have to be very discreet about it. In many cultures, it has been suppressed. If we're talking about marriage and children, then sex becomes a different ball game. But let's just talk about player sex. So meeting the girl, going on a date with her, and having sex with her. Now, a simple exercise to get over the purity fantasy is, apart from watching porn, to look at women in a sexual way. Sounds like a simple trick, but most men don't do it. So when you're walking around, you're in Starbucks, you're in the supermarket, you're doing your day game, you're at work, you're on the tube, you're on the bus, rather than just looking at girls and thinking, oh, she looks sweet, she's well-dressed, she's hot, she's cute, I look at women with that glint in my eye, that cheeky smirk, and even if they can't see me, I'm thinking to myself, wow, I wonder what she sounds like when she comes. I wonder what her like orgasm face is. I can just imagine how much she loves it so deep and so hard. Yeah, I picture her fantasies. I picture, obviously, her and me together. I picture her in crazy positions, pinned up against the wall. I picture me pulling her hair, biting her neck. I picture what she would do to me. And then if you're doing that as you're walking along the street, it sounds intense, but it's really, really good, because then if you run in and do your day game, you've got that sexual animalistic glow, that glint, that smirk, and women pick up on it. It's nonverbal. It's such a key part of frame. Pretty useless to say to a beginner until you've got your verbals down and your basic day game street hustling toolkit down. But once you understand the day game model and the dating model, it's time to get things sexual, moving from social to sexual. And really, really, really keep reminding yourself every day in whatever way possible that women enjoy sex, women want sex, women think about sex, women talk about sex. And even though, like I said, it's often behind closed doors for evolved reasons, boy, oh boy, do they love it. Now, that's not to say they love it more than men or they think about it more than men, but certainly women love pleasure. So if you just replace the word women love sex with women love pleasure, everything they do surrounding sex is all about pleasure. So it's about the fantasy of it, the build-up of it, the emotions surrounding it, the physical feelings, and of course the orgasm. Whether they act on those desires, that's a different thing, as much as men. But certainly, the middle of her ovulation cycle, for those 2-3 days, women are feeling super horny, super primed for alpha DNA. That's when you get women giving you IOIs. That's when they're dressed provocatively. That's when they sway a little bit more. That's why when you run in and you do certain day game sets, she just spazzes out, big eyes, and she's good to go. There's a window of opportunity, and maybe even a date is not a good idea. It's just the instant date and the same day late, even into the coffee shop bathroom, yeah? So just get over this fact that women love sex. Women are very, very dirty, filthy, in tune with their bodies. Women find other women attractive. Doesn't mean they're bisexual or lesbian. They love the feminine form. They love pleasure. So the quicker you can understand that, the better. A good film to open your eyes to this is not 50 Shades of Grey, although the phenomena surrounding the success of 50 Shades of Grey shows you that women, in particular, married women, middle-aged women, women that are not having a lot of sex, they think so much about sex when they read their trashy novels, things like 50 Shades of Grey. There's a whole mass market, obviously, from women's magazines to sex shops, sex toys, lingerie stores. So get into your head, especially if you're a young guy, that women love, want, need sex. I'd recommend the film Nymphomaniac. Type it into Google, Nymphomaniac Part 1 and Part 2 by the director Lars von Trier. It's pretty hardcore. It's quite dark. It's just the story of a woman's sexual journey from her youth all the way up to when she meets this man one dark, stormy night and reveals her sexual history. And I'd say it's a really good representation of the different kinds of sex that women have at different stages of their life, from the party years to looking for the providers, to bored, monotonous sex, to cheating, to wild sex with lovers. It's all in there. And a lot of what I'm talking about in terms of sex technique is in there as well. Not one to watch while you're having your Christmas dinner or with your grandma, with your mum, but just put it on and take notes. Okay, my notes have come from the past 5-6 years. Like I said, I've slept with over 250 girls from day game. I've had threesomes, both female-female me and me, male friend and her, in a non-homo way. I've had foursomes. I've seen guys in my house, you know, casually fucking girls. I've been in swinger situations. I've gone to BDSM meetups and met, you know, guys that are way more perverted than me. I thought I was a filthy Welsh bastard, but, you know, there's always layer upon layer upon layer, especially in cities like London. It goes really, really dark and crazy. So I've just scratched the surface. But first-hand information, collecting all this knowledge, how other guys do it, what girls want, what girls have said to me, really fast sexual encounters, girls that I've seen again and again over a period of years, bisexual girls. So I feel like I am qualified to know what women want, to know what goes on behind the curtain in the secret society. And to be honest and say, when I started out and I had slept with 2, 3, 4 girls, I'd had really long-term partners, I was pretty clueless about sex. You watch porn, but the sex you're having might be vanilla, predictable, bland. I say it's lights off, missionary position sex. It might not last that long. You might just shoot your load and fall asleep. You might be too excited and shoot your load. She might be disappointed. You might schedule sex if you're in a couple. You might remember that TV show Flight of the Conchords where he's rocking that song Business Time, and he's talking about how, you know, first they put out the recycling, and then because it's Wednesday night, it's sex night, it's couple sex night. So we need to think how we can spice things up, how we can make things a lot more varied, unusual, intense, to tap into all these desires that she has. The first thing I'd say is ban the missionary position. Okay, stop having sex, at least for a while, in the missionary position, you on top of her banging away with some cheesy music on and maybe scented candles and all that bullshit. Instead, switch it up to dominating styles. For me, the most dominating style, the style I love the most, is doggy style. All right, you behind her, you can pull her hair, you can push her down, you can put your thumb in her mouth, you can put your hand around her throat and gently squeeze. I've had girls that love, you do this, you open the window a little bit so her head's just a little bit out and you're pulling her hair, she can see down onto the street. Maybe people can even look up and vaguely see you in the window, but it's so dominating, yeah? You can slap her ass a little bit. It's just a great, powerful move. Not all girls can come in that position, but certainly spend a lot of time in that position. Move her around, yeah? Ban sex on the bed. Do the doggy style on the sofa. Her against a table, against a wall, in the shower, on the floor, like I said, up against the window. Maybe she's wrapped around you as you're sitting on a chair. Maybe it's up against the wall. Maybe she's on top. You know, now personally, I don't like it if she's trying to dominate me. I stop that straight away because I believe in male-female polarity. I don't like a woman being the man in the bedroom. But I understand that women like being on top because it's deeper. They can control the speed. It hits their magical spot perfectly. And a lot of girls come in that position. So if that's how they come, great. It's a great view when you're lying back as well. Very easy position. So I'll let them do that if that's about the orgasm. But we'll come on to that in a second. Let's go back to positions. So you've tried it on the bed, but why not instigate sex, like I said, in the kitchen, on the dining room table? Instigating sex on the floor is fantastic. Doing it in a shower cubicle, doing it anywhere around the house, up on the kitchen work surface, you know, with, like I said, her legs wrapped around you, on a chair in the living room. Yeah, you can't be living with your parents or flatmates, can't be in at the time, but experiment. So for a while, like I said, ban the missionary position, ban sex on the bed, and stop scheduling sex, stop making it so predictable, because you can't timetable passion. That's when I cringe, when long-term couples say they're going on a date night or it's sex night. You can't negotiate passion. All right, it needs to be spontaneous and it needs to be random. So maybe she just walks in the door, you know, you're a couple, and then you just pin her hands up against the wall and you go for it. Sometimes sex needs to be very, very fast. Yeah, it can be slow and romantic and spooning in the morning, kind of couple-y, but do really random, risky things. So I've had great sexual experiences in bathrooms all around the world. I once remember a Turkish girl who, this is in my first book, Day Game, she was just obsessed with blowjobs. So all around London, she'd like to give me blowjobs. She gave me a blowjob and I was shielding other people's line of sight with this menu. She gave me a blowjob in a cocktail bar. Once we were just getting a coffee in Cafe Nero in Covent Garden, and she just whispered that she wanted it there and then. So into the bathroom, Cafe Nero, Covent Garden. You can go in and think of me there in a non-sexual way, obviously. That was a good blowjob. Once I was in a nice restaurant in Cheltenham with this Russian girl. We were seeing friends in Cheltenham and we'd been given these vouchers. What was the name? Raymond Blanc. It's this posh restaurant. I don't normally do that thing. But anyway, we were in there feeling way out of our depth, laughing at all the kind of snobby Cheltenham people. And then I just noticed that horny look in her eyes. So I told her, you know, you go to the bathroom first. And I followed her in, nailed her in the bathroom. I've nailed a Portuguese girl in the bathrooms of Souk Medina in Covent Garden. That's a tea house in Seven Dials. A caveat is that, yeah, find disabled toilets, nice ones. So in Souk Medina, it has a lovely disabled toilet. Starbucks often has a big disabled toilet, but it's often very busy. So scout around your city and find nice, comfortable, big, secluded, disabled toilets where you can try this stuff in. Car sex, that's always good. I remember one of my first bisexual girls that was in a car, again, in Cheltenham. She went to an all-girls school. She was a very posh English girl. And we had sex in a car. And for me, that was amazing because up until then, I'd had very boring, predictable sex. I've had sex in a private sauna. Now, when you say sauna, that suggests Thailand or a gay sauna. But this was just a hotel sauna in Barcelona. I had sex with a girl there and broke the wood struts, whatever you call them, the wood panels that you sit on in a sauna. Broke them. Had a lot of sex in parks after dark. I remember one Mexican girl and me in Hyde Park, and we were doing the deed, and then we heard some rustling. And I put my head out from under the foliage, and there was a guy just jacking off, this little Indian guy. Creepy, weird, but she weirdly got off on that, you know? A lot of that weird stuff goes on in parks after dark in London. So again, if you're getting shocked even by the suggestion of parks or toilets or cars, then it's a wake-up call to clearly not being so predictable with your sex, not thinking that sex is bad and that women don't want it and that you should feel guilty and ashamed about it. Absolute rubbish. Okay, let's say you're in your house having sex. You might even be not listening to me. You might be on the bed. You might be doing the missionary position. Let's spice it up with some more techniques. So dirty talk. I learned this from a German wing, and I had a lot of threesomes with him, me, him, and a girl in a non-homo way. I learned a lot from him because he was very dominating, he was very physical, and I saw how much the girls loved his dirty talk. He would call them, you know, bad girls and command them, come here, get down, suck my dick. You love it, don't you? Pulling her hair, commanding her, saying, you know, you can feel my dick, you know whose dick this is, yeah, you want it. Be as dirty as you want. Start off small, but rack it up, and you'll see how much girls get off on it. Combine it with biting her neck, biting her ear, scratching her, pulling her hair, like I said, thumb in her mouth, a bit of spanking. Go easy on that until you know how much girls like. Now, I'm not personally into BDSM or toys. Some guys are. Again, that needs to be introduced gradually. You can't just bring a girl home, like in 50 Shades of Grey, and say, surprise. Maybe you can, but work your way up to all this stuff. Same with watching porn together. I remember doing that with a Latvian girl who just got off so much with us fucking, but at the same time watching lesbian porn. That really, really, really intensifies things. Again, then you don't feel shameful about porn. Up until now, you might have thought, oh God, porn is just this, you know, plan B when I'm not getting laid, when day game's not working. But if you can combine it with day game, then it's fantastic. Obviously, if you find a bisexual girl, that is like striking gold. So the threesomes I've had have often been from bisexual girls that I've dated. It's a lot easier than just what a guy normally imagines of going to a bar or even in the daytime, picking up two girls, taking them back and having sex with them. Now, that can happen, but it's much easier to find a girl who's either bi-curious or bisexual. she mentions this to you, you date her, and then you go out together picking up other girls. Or what I've done in the past is you're dating one girl who you know is bi-curious or bisexual, then you're day-gaming other girls, sleeping with other girls, and she hints that she likes girls or she's kissed a girl before, and then you bring those girls together. You have a date, you have some drinks, you hang out at yours, you watch a movie, and then you have to initiate. You might have heard in the community of the dual massage. Look all that stuff up. I'm not going to go into threesomes now. That's a whole different ballgame. We can talk about that in another podcast. But finding a bisexual girl just opens the door into a sweet shop of delight. Things that I only thought happened in porn. Happening all the time around you. That's another good thing to think about. When you're walking around a city, think that behind all those windows and closed doors, people are having crazy sex. People are having threesomes, foursomes, moresomes, orgies. There are, in secret clubs in your cities, swinger BDSM events happening. Women love and want sex, so you be a part of it. Comes back to stop feeling guilty, okay? If she's hot, if she's really, really hot, I'll do anal, okay? And girls often haven't tried it, but I'll do it with them. It's a pimp move. It's something very dominating. And I've noticed that when you take a girl's anal virginity, she really gets into it. Often she comes back for more because not many guys are brave enough to instigate it. It's not one of my favorite things to do. I don't do it with all girls. But I've noticed this dominating effect, a classic pimp move. So if you want to keep her around, consider doing that. And the biggest caveat for keeping her around and it not just being a pump and dump, one night stand or bounce back is to make her come. Now, when I say that to guys, I've had other guys say, well, that's supplicating. You know, your sex shouldn't all be about her. You're not worshipping her. And I agree. The sex really should be about you, your masculine animalistic desires. But if you want to keep her around and you want her to come back for more, and to be at your beck and call, you know, you just pick up the phone and she comes over. If you want her to take part in threesomes, you need to make her come. So loads of girls can't come through you being inside her, so you need to get good at knowing what she wants, the position in which she might be able to come. Like I said, it might be her on top. You getting good at fingering her for a long time, hard and fast in the right position. Some girls get off on it being outside on her clit. A lot of girls like it inside and upwards and backwards, so it hits on the mysterious, possibly mythical G-spot. You might find out that she squirts. Learn squirting. There's lots of tutorials on that online. Get used to playing, going down on her. If she's hot, if she's had a shower, but if she's hot, I'll do that. Again, not because you're worshipping her, but because the female orgasm, it can go on and on and on. She can have many in a row. And it's addictive, all right? So you can keep her coming back for more, quite literally. A side note to this, obviously, is that don't shoot your load until you've done that. And don't keep switching positions. If you notice that she's really getting into one position, just keep hitting that spot. Let her control the speed. And once she's come, then obviously go crazy, shoot your load on her, shoot your load all over her, she swallows, that's all good. It means that you've got that polarity, yeah? All right, sex on her period. What do you do if she's on her period? It's classic token LMR often. Girls are embarrassed about it, perhaps she hasn't shaved. But lots of times the token LMR is not because she's dicking around playing games and it's anti-slut defense. It's just that she's on a period, or it's the last day of a period, or she's coming onto a period. I just say to girls, listen, it's fine. It turns me on. It's so natural. It's so feminine. Go and have a shower, or go and take it out, or let me get a towel. And 50% of the time you can do it. I don't mind it at all. It just means you have to have a shower afterwards. I've had sex in the shower with girls on their period. It's not as bad as you think. With the towel down, it's fine. You might remember that video of me on a ferry from St. Petersburg to Helsinki. I get a same day lay in this cabin with a girl, and we hadn't put anything down. It just looks like someone's been murdered. There's blood all over the sheets. I feel sorry for the cleaner on that ferry, but it's something primal and intense. Lots of girls feel stronger climaxes when they're on their period. They feel you more intensely because it's obviously more sensitive. Some girls are strictly no. I've noticed that some Russian girls have a superstition against blood, so it's a strict no-no. But don't let that stop you, and try it once in your life. You know, like most sexual things that are non-homo, try it once in your life, because otherwise you'll never know if you like it or not, yeah? And even when she's not in your house or your bedroom or in a park or a bathroom with you, keep the strong, fantastical pleasure feelings going with her if she's one of your regulars, if you want to keep her around. So sexting, yeah? Do this after you've physically had sex with her. Otherwise, it can come across as creepy, you're too desperate. So I might text a girl that I'm fucking, I did one today, I might text her, I'm going to teach your ass a lesson. That's it. Or I send a photo ping of like a black and white steamy shower scene, or a girl with a blindfold on, you know, and a guy over her. Something that's not hardcore pornographic, not just like a copy-paste porn picture, but something suggestive, something she can think about, something where she's at work and she suddenly gets that rush of emotions. Girls love that way more than men. Like I said at the beginning, even though women love sex, the physical act of sex and coming and all the dirtiness which is at the heart of life, the idea of sex for them is super strong, way stronger than a guy's. You know, they get off on the thought, the build-up, the tension, the excitement, the drama. So don't forget the foreplay, obviously. All right, token LMR. A guy asked me this last night. What do you do if she's on your bed? Are you fooling around, but you get this token LMR? Disclaimer, this is not real. No resistance. This is token game playing, dance like LMR, where she's not sure. She doesn't normally do this. She says it's a little bit too fast. She doesn't want to feel like a slut. She doesn't want to feel bad the next day. So it's the guy's job to guide her through it. It's two steps forward, one step back. It's using fractionation and the roll-off. And I say to guys, don't be so obsessed with trying to take her clothes off, yeah? Guys want to rip everything off. All I do is make sure we're on the bed with the laptop or on the sofa with the laptop. We're kissing, maybe I'm biting her neck, pulling her hair a little bit, and then I'm putting one of my knees in between her legs in her crotch, and I'm applying pressure until I can feel that she's getting into the kissing, she's moaning slightly. My next move is then just to take her hand and put it on the top of my jeans on my dick and say to her, wow, you know, you're really turning me on. This is what you've done to me. So flipping it and letting her know that you're horny, and that works wonders. The next thing is to time it right. You're massaging her belly. If she's wearing a skirt or a dress, this is easy. If she's wearing jeans, you've really got to time it. You're going to put your hand down there and start fingering her. And once you're fingering her and she's touching your dick, you're 95% of the way there. If it's still not happening, remember the Torero rule, G-Y-D-O, get your dick out. Sounds extreme to a beginner, but get it out. And I learned this from other guys. They would say, try it, Tom, honestly, try it, and then mock, then laugh, see what happens. So you can try it, get it out, just jack off in front of her, be unapologetic with it, saying, this is what you're doing to me, you know? I've got such blue balls, you're going to have a cold shower, you know? This is crazy, I'm so turned on by you, you're so sexy, etc., etc., etc. And when a girl sees this, and sees that you're hard, sees that you're ready, again, you're 98% there. Give that one a try. Still, token LMR, well, let her sleep over. Then often in the morning, she's had that comfort with you during the night, the cuddling and the spooning, and it happens. That kind of groggy morning sex, which I do like, which can turn into crazy sex when you both wake up. So let her sleep over, try again in the mornings. Let's finish with Uncle Tom advice, which sounds like it's coming from a teacher at school or your mum and your dad when you were 12 years old, talking about condoms and getting checkups. Now, I'm not one to preach with using condoms, because many, many times out of that 250 plus stat, I've taken crazy risks. I've not worn a condom. In the heat of the moment, it's just happened to get over that token LMR. It's just happened. Again, proof of the lover concept in biology, and what's shocking to a lot of guys is that loads of girls don't want you to use a condom. They don't even ask. All right, you might have just met her an hour before in Las Vegas, and she's up in your room, sucking your dick, and then telling you to nail her. And she, in the heat of the moment, especially if you're having alpha sex, lover sex, they're not interested in the condom, despite all rational, logical knowledge about STDs and risks, and even pregnancy, obviously, for the girl. And that can obviously be explained by women wanting lover DNA at all costs. But I use condoms when I can. When the girl asks, obviously, I use the ultra thin ones. They are called skin. Yeah, skin condoms. That's what I use. Because obviously it really diminishes the feeling of sex. That's why a regular girl is nice. A girl that you can trust, a girl that you know is safe and healthy. Sex without a condom, for me, is a lot more pleasurable. And obviously for girls, many girls have said it feels completely different without a condom. But I'm not saying don't use a condom. I'm saying carry a condom, use it responsibly, take calculated risks. That's all I'm saying. Get checked out. So that's the flip side, if you want to take these calculated risks. When I was living in London at the heyday of my crazy sexual adventures, that was 2010, 11 and 12, I was going for a checkup every 2 weeks. I felt like a gay guy in Soho. You know, we've got in Britain walk-in clinics. They're free. They're on the NHS. You walk in, you just have to get over the embarrassment. British people are very embarrassed, a bit like Japanese or German people about sex. Just get over it, okay? So she's going to examine you. She's going to maybe take a swab. You're going to pee into a tube. She's going to give you a blood test for the HIV. But it's peace of mind. It's good. And if you're with a regular partner, get her to do it as well. And to finish, because Uncle Tom is getting towards his 40s. I'm 36 now. Podcast number 40, the age of 40. Is approaching. I can't deny it anymore. I've started carrying in the last year, a little bit more than a year, a Cialis tablet. I did try Viagra a long time ago, but it took a long time to work and I really didn't like the side effects. So another guy showed me Cialis. They come in 20 milligram tablets. I break them in half. I only take 10 or sometimes even 5. I don't take them every time. If I've been drinking a lot of alcohol, if I'm tired, or if it's just been a whole night of like token LMR and my dick's been up and down and up and down. I had a few instances last year where then when we did go to have sex, nothing happened or half a thing happened. So these pills are expensive, but miraculous. Don't take them all the time because there are side effects. You feel like dry skin, dry mouth, headaches, a bit woolly. You go a little bit flustered, a bit red. But 10 milligrams or 5 milligrams, that's fine. They work within 15, 20 minutes. So if I'm panicking a little bit, go to the bathroom, neck down a tablet with some water, come back into the bedroom, bit of foreplay, and then you're good to go. And girls have said, wow, like you are, I can feel you are so hard. And you can shoot your load, and then within half an hour, you can do it again and again and again. So if it's a girl you really want to nail, you really want to keep her around, you know you've got a threesome on the cards, you're a bit nervous about that, for whatever reason, no shame in carrying something like this in your wallet. Anyway, I could go on and on and on. I thought I didn't have that much to say about sex, but clearly it's an issue that I can come back to. Leave questions below this if you're watching on YouTube, or if you want discretion, email me, tom@tomterrero.com. To finish, a little upsell about January, Saturday Street Hustle Training in Central London. I'm doing 2 more dates before I go off traveling again. They are Saturday training sessions with 2 students and me. They're 5 hours, 12 till 5 p.m. We meet in Central London. It's not just the street. It's stores, cafes, malls. It's not just the front stop. I go through the complete Torero toolkit of street hustling with you. It's 500 quid for those 5 hours, so cheaper than my one-on-one rate because you're with another student. It's only me coaching, so it's the full Torero flame-grilled coaching effect. And the dates are Saturday the 2nd of January, so kickstart your year with a Torero kick up the arse. And I'm doing another one on 16th. Of January, Saturday the 16th of January. If you want to book a place, first come, first served, tom@tomterrero.com. There's going to be one more podcast this year before Christmas, wrapping things up. So from London or Wales, I'll speak to you next week. Ta-da.